I'm a little bit closer. I can hear the heckling. And I can find out who it is who's heckling me, Michael. So, Andy's already mentioned Richard's prayer. I was going to find out how we're getting on with it. Right at the beginning of the year, you know, we just mentioned this, didn't we? That we said, there's three things that I desire: to know you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly, day by day. It's a journey. It's something that we're doing all the time, as Andy's pointed out. It's not something that is good for today and we'll forget it tomorrow. You know, if the desire of your heart is to know the Lord, that's a process. When I spoke last, I spoke about us being on a journey, didn't I? And I asked, you know, what's your promised land? What is it that you really want to achieve spiritually? Where is it that you feel that you should be? And you know, what is it that is the thing that drives us? We're already on day 207 out of 365. We're rattling through the year. The other thing that when I spoke at the beginning of the year, as I encouraged us all to write things down. And as a church, we gave you all a book. How are you getting on with that? Yeah? Are you writing it down? So what's the point of writing it down if you do nothing with it? So the next bit of writing it down is to flick back and say, oh yeah, Lord, you said that at the beginning of the year. And then you said this, and then you said that to me. Because the Lord has words for each and every one of us. The Lord has a relationship with each and every one of us. And it's that relationship, it's that journey that's important to us. But it's important that we go back over and we have a look and we say, oh yeah. Steve Huckett spoke a while back about, you know, what's your gifting, what's your calling, encouraging us to really move into what we have. What's the Lord saying to you? What is it that you feel is your role? Where is it that you know one day when you stand before your maker, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we all want to hear, isn't it? Well done. So this morning, I'm going to speak about Jesus. How many names of Jesus can we tell? Can we remember? Names, titles of Jesus. Come on. This is everybody. Shout them out. Sorry? Redeemer, Emmanuel, Shepherd, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Light of the World. We're drying up. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Majesty, Author and Finisher of our Faith. So, Christmas time, we have one of these. It's our Advent candle. Yeah? We managed, Ness is brilliant. We managed to root one out. So day one, we burn down to day one, Lord. Day two, Saviour, Messiah, the Vine, the Way, the Truth, the Life, Emmanuel, Redeemer, the Rock, the Word, the Son of God, Counselor, Lamb of God, High Priest, Anointed One, Living Water, Morning Star, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of Judah, Good Shepherd, Prince of Peace, the Resurrection, Christmas Day, Jesus. Yeah? Isn't that lovely? But there's one title that I'm going to pick up that's not on there. And where I want us to look at today, so what I want us to pick up on today is Jesus being the author of life. Yeah? So can you turn with me to Acts chapter 3? Acts chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. And this is Peter, when he goes into the temple, and there's the lame chappy at the temple gates wanting to be given money. Because all he can see is, actually, I need to feed my stomach. I need to live. Give me something I can go and get food, because I've got no legs that work, therefore I need help to survive in this bad world. That's where his thought process is, isn't it? Peter comes and he sees him and he says something a bit challenging to this fella. And he says, I haven't got any money. Well, immediately the guy's thinking, well, you look a fat lot of good, aren't you? You know, what can I do now? How am I going to feed myself? But what he says is he comes in at a much higher level. And it's time for us to start thinking at a much higher level and to understand where God really is. Some of those testimonies have started to just creep into that, hasn't it? God is there and he cares for us. So he says, what I haven't got is money, but what I have got, stand up and walk. And then a little further down in the chapter is a bit that I want to read, and that's from 14 to 16. And it says, they're saying, how did you do this? You know, all the people have known the beggar there, they've seen him in the temple, leaping and dancing and praising God. Hang on a minute. 5 minutes ago, you weren't able to walk, and now here you are leaping and dancing. So they challenge Peter, how did you do it? And this is a really interesting response. So he says to them, you disowned the holy and the righteous one, and you asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. What an indictment that is. You killed the author of life. So sad. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And we are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. There he is, leaping and dancing. Yeah? Jesus is the author of life. Just start to think what that means, the connotations of that. Jesus, whom we know, we've been worshipping, we can testify to his goodness, is the author of life. Through him, all things were created. Actually, Ness and I were reading the psalm last night, and it says in there that he created the north and the south. Oh, that's an interesting comment. He created the north and the south. So if you thought the world was flat, there would be no north and south, would there? It would be an arbitrary point. The world was round. The world is round. And they knew it. There's a North Pole and a South Pole. You created the north and the south. We know the world's... Anyway, that's a bit of an aside. But look, this is such a stark contrast, isn't it? You disown the holy and the righteous one and ask that a murderer be released. The contrast between that and Jesus as the author of life. The world brings death because they say he's a murderer. And that's the really of that 24/7. So when go between least, he sat for you. His aim is to say, but come on, Michael, you this needs truly me. We've been singing, how faithful is God? There is nobody that is as faithful as God. All my life, he has been faithful, and I can testify to that. All my life, God has been faithful. Every single day. And the one that meets our need is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Who else would you want to stand your corner? Who else would you want to intercede to God himself, Almighty God? So I can vouch for him. Don't worry about him. I can vouch for him. He's got my robes of righteousness. We should be getting excited by now, shouldn't we? And this Jesus is the author of life. This Jesus, nothing that you see, nothing that has been created, was not created without Jesus' say-so. He is the author of life. And so if he intercedes for you, if he has your best in his heart, and he is the creator of all things, don't you think he's got a few good things for you? You know, when you're in your family at home and you make something, you want to go and show somebody what you've made. You want to show somebody that you've done something. You know, we've got a lovely garden. Come and have a look at this. See how this is growing. You know, just think, magnify that up to God the Father and the Son. I've done this. I've made that. Look, I want to show you this. Oh, you've got to come and see this. I know you like trees. Come and have a look at this one. Don't you think God wants to show us and explain his creation and us to enjoy what he's given us and to the full? Not walking around with a bad back and a bad leg and all the rest of it. He's the author of life. So through Jesus, we have life. We have one who understands our weaknesses because he walked this earth, didn't he? He understands our hearts. He's released us. This is so, so true and important. He's released us from the one that held us, that was doomed to destruction. It was a way that led to death. He's a murderer. He's released us from that. Jesus bought the right to release us when he died and rose again. That's the authority that he's got. The author of life death couldn't hold. That's the truth. You cannot kill the author of life. Just understand the contrast, though. We were the lowest of the low. We were a slave of the enemy. No rights, nothing. We were doomed to death. And even actually, death wasn't a release, because we would die from this physical earth and go somewhere even more horrific. Double death. We've been released from that to become an heir and joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God, where there is life and life evermore. What a contrast. What a release. He who has been forgiven much must love much. Yeah? I can't explain. My vocabulary is not good enough to articulate the difference between those two extremes. All because of Jesus, the author of life. Thank you. So, Jesus is for us. He is faithful. He is the author of life and has good things for us. And Jesus himself, he said, look, the thief comes to kill and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and life to the full. How much do you think we miss? How much do you think we really understand the truth of that statement? I've come that you may have life and life to the full. These are the truths. Peter's testimony explained how that cripple got his feet. And he explained that Jesus is the author of life. Now, if we read that scripture carefully, it says, it is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that completely healed him. So there are two ingredients. One is Jesus' name. The other is our faith in Jesus' name. And that is what healed the cripple. Okay? Nothing fancy, nothing particularly complicated, just faith, and faith in the Creator God. Knowing where the power lies, knowing where the good is. We have that same spirit in us, don't we? The Spirit of God that brings life. For through him, Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit, the same Spirit. We have that access to Jesus, to the Father. We should be living life much more to the full than we do. And I'm speaking to myself. You know, I scrape the surface. And I've been a Christian a very long time.
Jesus implores us to embrace this whole idea that the Spirit gives life. Jesus said in John 6, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are full of the Spirit and of life. You know, this is what we've got to get hold of, is that the Spirit of God that's within us brings life. We have rivers of living water that can flow out. How much do we let them flow out? How much of the dam walls shut? Let's get it flowing. As I said earlier, when I spoke up at Westwood, I asked what your promised land was. What did you see as your promised land? Where did you see your inheritance? When Paul spoke, I'm dodging around a few of the scriptures, but I just want to make the point, really. Paul was speaking. You remember Paul spoke to a group of believers in an upper room? And he rattled on and on and on, and the poor lad sat in the window, fell out the window, and died, didn't he? He got so bored he fell asleep. And fell out. What does Paul do? He comes around and he prays for him and he raises him to the life. After that, he says this, now I commit to you, God, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. As believers, we have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? That's a question. Come on, this is time I... Life? Eternal life? What does it say about eternal life in the scriptures? In the Psalms, it tells us there'll be pleasures forevermore. We're with the Lord. Yeah? We have an amazing inheritance, but it's not just eternal life. We have life now and life to the full. Yeah? We've been made in the image of God, haven't we? So I'm saying that Jesus, part of the Trinity, is the author of life. Yeah? We're made in the image of God. God has given us the same attributes. You know, when we speak, the Proverbs tell us there is the power of life and death in the tongue. So one way that we can start to turn things around, and one way that we can start to move into our inheritance, is start confessing the right things. Instead of saying, I can't do this, I can't see that, I can't hear the other, start focusing on the good that you know God has done. Start focusing on the things, the truths that we've been speaking about. Start speaking into the kingdom. And what I'm not talking about is the power of positive thinking. Forget that idea. That is not what it's about. What I'm talking about is faith and trust in the author of life. He's the one that's told me this. He's the one that I can rely on. He's the one that I know will fulfill this. God has said, and when God has said, it is done. Isaiah 55 tells us that. No question. It will fulfill its purpose. Therefore, I have the right to trust and stand on God's word. Therefore, if I believe in the author of life, this will happen because God has said. It's that second ingredient. First ingredient, knowing in whom we trust, the name of Jesus. We so often say, there is power in the name of Jesus, don't we? We rattled off some of the names of Jesus. There is power in that name. But then we've got to apply our faith. We've got to apply what we know and see it come into being. I want to pick up a little bit on Kath's testimony because it ties in with this. So Romans 4, verse 7, it says, he is our faith, he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. So God is somebody that is able to make something out of something that's not, if that makes sense. That's called faith, isn't it? We can't have faith in something we see. It doesn't need faith because I can see it. Faith is trusting that God will do something that at the minute I can't see, but I know his word, as Kath was saying, tells me that will happen. So there are two truths. If we go on in that same chapter, it says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. So there's one truth, right? God spoke. There's the second truth, the greater truth. We see around, you know, that people don't always get healed. We see people that are suffering. We see one truth. It is our job to commit it to God and ask God that we'll release a greater truth. The greater truth that sits over and above that. Because it goes on to say, yet he did not waver through unbelief. He didn't just look at what he can see and say the negative. He looked at what he could see and held on to the second greater truth and spoke the positive. I trust you, God. Do not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But it was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So God has spoken. God has the power. He's spoken. It's going to happen. End of statement. No question. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us. This is the encouragement for us. So when we were born again, we were dead in our sins. We belonged to the murderer that I was talking about before. When we got born again, we moved from that life into the life that belonged to the author of life. That took faith. That's how we move, isn't it? From one to the other, through faith. But for us also, to whom God will credit righteousness. So that movement from one world to the other is credited to us as righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So there you go. There's those two truths. And that's where we stand. That's where we move into something that will be credited to us as righteousness. So we have the author of life. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the ability to commit things to him. We have the ability to speak life into a given situation. We have the absolute right to commit things to Jesus, who intercedes for us constantly as the great high priest, and ask that the Lord would touch us and help us and sort out the situations when we're in that storm, when we're moving through things that are tricky, when we get to the position where actually I've done all I can do, Lord. All I can do now is stand and stand on your promises. Yeah? Because we know he's a faithful God. Because we know he doesn't change. And because we know he's a high priest forever, interceding for you and for me. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you, Father God, that you are a God that justified us through your death and your resurrection. And Lord, we thank you that that is now credited to us as righteousness because we believe and we've accepted. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand more fully what it means to have the author of life as our father, as our friend, as our intercessor, as somebody that will stand for us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, that you have been faithful. And I thank you that I can stand here and declare that all my life you have been faithful. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's something there that has triggered something, if there's something there that you just want prayer for, then please come and see us. Andy said, see the elders. I'm afraid that's just me this week. The other guys are on holiday. So Andy, Kev, leadership team, you know, anybody, come and see us and we'll pray with you. Or the person that sat next to you, if you know they're born again. There is no hierarchy. There's nobody got a more powerful prayer than the other. We all have access to the Father. So thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm going to talk about Alpha again for a minute. We're going to run an Alpha course, and everyone in this room is capable of running that course. So please put your names forward and come and help on the Alpha courses. And the other thing about Alpha is that we need to understand what we're offering. We're offering everything, and it's free. We're offering salvation. We're offering joy. We're offering hope. We're offering to change people's lives. And it's all for free. So please, everybody, be brave. Remember what you're offering when you speak to people. And bring friends. We, as many people as you can get, we will take. And we will take through Alpha. We're going to have refreshments now. Please stay on. Tea, coffee, biscuits and fellowship. So please stay with us. And all I've got to say is, be blessed. Everyone, be blessed. And know this, you are all loved. And it's today and forevermore. Amen.